Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. I want to welcome you to Garden of Enlightenment with Lu Yu Wildad. And we are one of the many poetry sites on allpoetry.com. It's a free site to join. Check us out, and you can find us there. This group is very loving, and we love poetry and contests and radios and radio readings and all the wonderful comments that we get on people's front page picks, point picks from got tongue tied that is chosen every month, and then we collect them all, read the following month. And this group is supported by poets who have all donated their poetry from around the world. And you can find the books on Amazon.com. They're beautiful. They make great gifts, look great on the table. And just like our group name, Late Night Poets, is Late Night Poets Anthology. So we are going to get started, and let me go ahead and pick up a caller. All righty then. Caller 707, who am I speaking with?
Irish Rose.
Hi, Irish Rose, and how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm so happy to have you.
You.
Yeah, I'm not so, yeah, we've got 65 mile per hour winds here, so it's kind of wreaking
my
allergy.
We have like 35, so hey, I know what you're saying.
I'm not a fan of it. So let's go ahead and get started and until Katie can call in and help me out. Oh, come on. Okay, I'm using my phone and my computer, and my computer is like snail. So let me go ahead and pick up the first poem from, let's see, copy link text. And I hope you've got your beautiful voice ready to read, Seaglass, because, Irish Rose, the poem by Seaglass,
yeah.
And here we go.
All right. Let me get to it. Begin reading. Seaglass, the rising of the rivers, brew and pit. The brew talks and whispers to the river pit as it journeys the seasons and circles the gardens in the valley. Most days it flows and bubbles and birds sing. You can see kingfishers zipping and zagging in the water from bank to tree. On this sun-bright January day, the brew and the pit chuckled and flowed brown in last year's new growth on the old apple and medlar trees in the orchard pointed shiny new stems at a cold pale blue sky. And we were winter pruning, stretching and teetering from small step ladders, clipping, cutting, and sawing. We heard the wind screech through the top boughs of the giant pines and silver birches. They swooshed, whined, and whistled in retort. We didn't see the flash rain shower coming, felt it on our backs, icy sheets of water soaked by the winter sun. We ran for cover, but quickly as it came, it was gone, and a rainbow arced the farm. Between cold flash showers and winds that whipped and stilled, we pruned apple, plum, and medlar, bundled the waste into the barrows, and wheeled our way to the bonfire patch on the river bank. Again, the wind screamed and whooped. Icy rain smacked our cheeks. The light fell, and we stood deafened and transfixed by the wind, bending trees, and the roaring of the river rising by the yard, an angry liquid brown beast tearing at the roots of trees. And we ran like the devil was chasing. Back through the paddock and orchard. Behind us, trees crashed in brew and pit. River swallowed the road, bridge and paddocks. In the kitchen, we hugged the warm aga in silence, sharing the same thought. We humans and our silly affections mean nothing to rivers on the rise. In poem.
You know what? You did such a beautiful, exceptional read of Seaglass's poem. You know, this was, I see that she got not only a front page pick, but a gold medal, which was well deserved. I cannot imagine going through this. We do have these type of issues when we get our monsoon where it just rains for days and days and it swells and you just pray that it's not going to come into your house. You know, I was reading her office notes where she says, this was a true event and very scary because more water was coming up through the ground, then out of the sky. I now understand why I didn't then. And then she wrote this piece for Ted Hughes about a poem posted by Tom George called Wind. And I thought this was an exceptional write. She was very detailed. It was captivating, mesmerizing, especially the way you read it. And, you know, I'm glad that she's safe now. This, you know, and a horrifying experience. What did you think of her poem?
Oh, I can so identify with the fear and the anguish and the shock and the whole thing because, you know, California has been just inundated by over a dozen atmospheric rivers. And when I think of what she is describing and what I have seen, firsthand witness, and going through it, I feel that terror that you can't can't control nature, and that's the scary thing. I mean, once you're in the embrace, the fist of nature, then you have no you have no way to defend yourself, you know? And so
you don't
have to pray that, you have to just pray that you're rescued or you get to high ground or something miraculous can happen to you. Because all the negative things and forces are at work.
Yes, she can be just as beautiful as she is just as dangerous. And we have some callers, so let me go ahead and pick up caller 111, which is Naomi.
Hello. Hi, girl.
Hello,
how
Naomi.
Are you doing?
Hello.
Hello. Good. Welcome to the show. I was just, you know, I've got an old computer, and it just, some days it's just cranking. And today, I don't know if it's having to do with all the winds out there, but she's cranky. Did you get to hear Irish's Rose read a Sea Glass's poem?
Yeah, well, I was trying to connect, so I read through it fast. I heard part of it. I really, you know, this is really something, and I like the pace in which Irish Rose read it. You know, it's like the frantic pace of the poem. She did it so much justice, and so bravo on your read, Rose. And, you know, when she says, and we ran like the devil was chasing back to the paddock and orchard behind us, trees crashed. And the Brew and Pitt River swallowed the road, bridge and paddocks. And in the kitchen, we hugged the warm aga in silence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sharing the same thought, we humans and our silly affections mean nothing to rivers on the rise. I thought that was such a brilliant ending because it's true, you know, we mean nothing to the force, you know, when nature decides it's blowing everything to pieces. What can you do? We're just little silly little things like little ants there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? So,
I know.
But
it's
silly.
Terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah. Silly affections mean nothing to rivers on the rise. I really liked how she spun that ending there. So really amazing piece by Sea Glass here.
Agreed. Thank you, Naomi. And we have another caller, 512. Is that Frank?
Yeah, I thought you could recognize me by now.
Oh, no, yeah.
Hello there.
How are you doing this evening? Hi, Frank. Welcome to the show. Is this my co-host?
Okay. Hi. I'm hanging on to the trees, after listening to this poem, yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. You just wish the ground and everything would soak it up, but it just can't. The ground is so soaked, it's like it's a shallow skating rink, you know, it just comes up and comes up. Did you get to hear the poem, Frank?
I would say half of the poem, not all the poem, because I was calling in like Naomi, but I did read the poem afterwards. Very powerful poem, you know, it describes a very powerful scene. I think all of us, you know, have come across, you know, the perils of human nature. You know, I've been through a tornado before. So this is really hectic just to reminisce about this. But I thought overall the poem was very powerful in the words themselves, expressing the fear, the emotions that one goes while they are under these types of conditions, unpredictable, fortunately. And I do agree. I think
Agreed.
It was Irish Rose there. Hello there. I think it was you who said that something about whether it's hard, you know, it's something about, you know, there's nothing we can do against Mother Nature.
No, there's no defense, really.
No, you can't. Okay. Being a ding-dong and having moved up to the tornado alley, I stood next to a window because I was looking at the rain, you know, because, you know, we look at the rain. We're happy to get rain in the desert. And I was standing by the window and this bolt of lightning hit. It was about maybe one car length. And in the parking lot, and it hit the pole, and it traveled and went up the window, and I have my hand there, and it electrocuted me. I'll never forget that instant perm I got.
You got all the electricity there. Wow. They're all electric.
Oh my God, yeah, that was frightening. And, you know, and I just, you know, for all the tornadoes that, you know, people are suffering for right now, and up in California with all that, you know, no rain and then just deluge of rain, you know, the plants rain, are all burnt and there's nothing to soak it up. And it's just terrifying. And, you know, you got people that are trying to run across those rivers and they get swept away. Watch it all the time.
And the rivers, they're icy, you know, icy water.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we have another caller. Hold on one second. And we all know who this is. It's Mr. Butterman.
Yeah, in a panic because he's late.
Welcome, Laurent. How are you?
Blinking in my eyes and can't believe it's 10:15 when I just closed them at like 8. It's all right. I'll catch up. I'm good.
Well, welcome.
That's a good
thing. We were laughing about my instant perm I got from being electrocuted from a lightning strike. That's what you never forget. Yeah, never forget. Okay. Naomi is going to be my right-hand lady today. She will be posting the poems. And go ahead, Naomi. We're ready for our next poem. Just start from the top all the way down. We got the first poem.
Yeah. Okay, so this is Indian, I posted Indian Valley by Joker of Faith. And Laurent, can you give that a read, please?
Yes, I can. Indian Valley. Verse 1. Roll off the earth's coaster, this fusion of pupil cinnamon on that granddaddy perp propelled floater. AJ taking that paddle and boater. As Chick Raven, my sub, merges eggs in a thick bourbon odor. We'll correlate the hypnosis spit of the eye swallower, a dozen cannonballs, and a lecture from Hannibal Lecter about swimming in our bay for free and streaming our air pressure. Bridge, where the corsairs of the Indian Valley, me and pupil tired of the tallyman's tally.
What a fantastic read. Thank you so much, Laurent. I always enjoy Sour Joe's poem, and I'm going to let some other comment because we got tons of poetry. Okay, so we're going to take turns. Our next poet to comment. Well, Laurent, you haven't had a chance to comment, so would you like to comment on the poem you just read?
Yeah, I've got a feeling that this is, I want to say whitewater rafting, but that's probably not correct. Talking about the tally man's tally, you know, I will admit, because it happens. It happens more than you might want to believe, that I don't know what the hell I'm talking about here.
Word.
I like the Chick Raven laying sub, merges eggs and a thick bourbon order. I got to stand back and watch somebody intelligent discuss this.
Well, let me see. He didn't comment to anyone. He's in the rap group. He battles a lot, so I presume he's talking about visiting this valley. And he says it's, you know how valleys can look like a roller coaster, and you know, I don't know if he's talking about the color here or he took a cinnamon coffee with him to go. Look at this. I guess he must have been watching somebody paddling and boaters on some type of river or stream. I'm not familiar with this, but let's see what else somebody thinks. Okay, Frank, what do you think?
Did you say me?
I sure did.
No, like
okay, I'm sorry. I'm trying to listen here attentively. I don't know if I can get any better than what Walter's commented there. I believe this is what you said before. I think this is some type of a mention here, or it's a tribute here, or a collab here with another poet here on a theme here, perhaps a rhyme theme there, because there is a consistency of rhyme going on. As for the confidence of the poem, it is very vivid. There's lines here that are very vivid. You know, there's mentioning there of hypnosis, cannonballs, Hannibal Lecter. So I would assume that this was written like in a rap type of style of poetry. I'm not sure if this is adequate in my assessment there, but I would think that it really, I'm looking at, it says verse one, so I'm assuming that this is really written as a no, I wouldn't say parody by no means. I think it's written as a collab here or a piece that's a musical score.
Fascinating. Yeah, fascinating. You know, it's just, I really love the imagery that he put in here. Thank you, Frank. And Naomi, we're ready for our next poem.
Oh, yes, I do love the mute button, don't I? Okay. So I'll put up Irish Rose. I'll put up your poem next.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, so...
Let me get back here.
Yeah, oops. So if whenever you can give it a read for us for Irish Rose.
Okay, we'll do that. Let me find me here. All right, here we go. All right. Very good. Begin poem. Parchment Walls by Irish Rose. And have the parchment walls stood the rod of time, filling the voice of poverty pressed between brittle pages, surviving the persuasive yellowing of fibers of life, deftly woven by the hands of God, intricacies and time's fractal weathering, worm-tongued tears of faded leather, cracked to a sear of brown glue, faint words in gold imprinted on a fine Corinthian hide, sheds its dry dust on the desiccated wood of leaning bookcases, now both equally rung of life. End poem.
What a beautiful collaboration between you and Laurent. Oh, this is just gorgeous. Now, let's get some comments. Naomi, your next comment.
Yeah, I mean, this is amazing. You know, the way you you describe those the parchment walls, those precious, you know, your name imprinted on a fine Corinthian hide. Well, Corinthians is also a book in the Bible, the Corinthians. Can you go on to somebody else? Because I'm an emergency. My computer is dying on me. I have to connect it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And let's see. Let me go ahead and let's see, comment on this. What I loved about this, I love antique books. There's just something about them when I think about how many hands have touched them and opened them up and smelled them, especially this beautiful book. You know, there's so many, for me, there's so many psalms in there, you know, songs that were written by King David, which this reminded me of while I was reading this. I could just literally just smell that old ancient book that is so loved by so many people. And, you know, I just thought this was just absolutely stunning, Laurent.
Thank you.
And Irish Rose. And I'm going to ask Frank to comment since you both wrote this poem. Frank, you're up next.
Yes. Yes. First of all, I thought I have to congratulate the both of you on the front page, because you both have an exquisite pin, I would say, you know, ascribe to the notion of what poetry should be written in its quintessence. You know, the notion there of the parchment walls and how you describe it, you know, in the voice of poverty pressed between brittle pages, you know, that's very, very vivid there. I like the whole notion there. I know there is perhaps a biblical reference into it, but I also see the essence there of what the preservation of books, you know, in this case, of food books there, you know, and I find that admirable when you write and you refer to whether it's a Bible or whether it's a book, it's one of these types of books that you really enjoyed as a child reading. I think they stand the test of time, books, and it's good to know that we can reflect on these books that we have read and find that even with the passage of time, they're timeless and they're priceless. So I think you did a fantastic job, both of you, in this poem here. And I was really taken by the exquisite language here.
Thank you. Thank you so
much.
Oh, you're
welcome. Would you or Laurent like to make a comment about this piece? Go ahead, Nora.
To you.
No, I said let Gwen speak on the piece. It's her piece.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that we were, when we penned this, we were striving for something that was relevant in the sense of time, as Frank has mentioned, and in the sense of its established meaning to a lot of people that identify with it. And in that, you see so many old Bibles. I certainly have in my time. And I can remember my grandmother's that was just like that. It was raggedy and had very thin pages, and they were all marked, and they had bookmarks, and it was falling apart. But, you know, the value that it has as it goes through generations of people in a family is a remarkable thing to be able to trace. And in my particular family, they wrote the history of the lineage, the genealogy in the Bible. So when my kids wanted to know something, then we had that to refer to. So it had a real sense of relevance to my life. And that's what I think that we were trying to achieve.
Okay. Thank you so very much. And we are on our next poem. Naomi's having, not Obama, I guess I'm not the only one having problems. Naomi and Katie from Scotland. So hopefully everybody can get everything back up and get started. And we have our next poem. I'm going to be a little, oh, there you are, love. Added your poem. Your poem first. You didn't know, because I didn't know if you were going to get back in time. Katie's having problems, too, so I'm going to go ahead and let me go ahead and get your SoundCloud. This is Smitten by the Girl with a Pearl Earring by Naomi Sarah. Let me go ahead and get this, and here we go.
Smitten by the girl with a pearl earring. He did not hear the mating song of the long-legged herons echoing across the marshlands, did not hear the crystalline sounds carried by the deep flow of the great rivers over the moaning pebbles laying in their depths. He did not smell The musty scent of the ponds mixed with the spicy flavor of the watercress. Nor hear the dragonfly scurrying flight, the silken whisper of their wings through the long tapering leaves of cattails and bulrushes. All he saw was how the sparkle in her eyes outshined the pearl earring and the softness of her earlobe, how the honeyed coral dew hung to her lips. His shadow stalked dark, deserted rooms until the innocent sweetness of her gaze broke down his dull gray walls. Like an unexpected surf breaks the massive castle of an old child. And now he drifts on a silvery gull on the sea, and she is in the wave, both cool and sharp as a dagger, fiery and lully as the wind's song, spreading ethereal hues through his blood.
Oh, my goodness. What a beautiful recording and a beautiful poem, Naomi. Let's go ahead and start getting comments. Laurent?
Yeah, the Vermeer's painting is a famous
right.
one that I remember myself. And to be able to write about it in that way, really is quite stunning. The technique of telling us what he did not hear, and then recounting what he did not hear, as opposed to telling us what he did hear, suggests a single-minded focus where he doesn't really recognize anything except her. The sparkle in her eyes outshined the pearl earring and the softness of her earlobe, how the honeyed coral dew hung mm-hmm. to her lips. The imagery is stunning. I just particularly like her descriptions, especially things like both cool and sharp as a dagger. That's just delicious language. Really nice job there, Naomi.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Laura. Beautiful comment. And Frank?
Well, this is undoubtedly a favorite poetry. Actually, yeah, I would engineer. You did a fantastic poem, by the way, with I'm in agreement with Laurent. This is very stunning. The English is very stunning. I hope the language, above all, is striking. You bring us elements here of nature here. You also bring us a seduction of a woman, you know, in this case, woman, and how Suzanne was inspired.
We're losing you, Frank.
Okay, can you hear me? No, just let me say that I just thought the poem was fantastic there, in the way she portrayed the woman of the pearl earring there was very good.
Agreed. Thank you, Frank. And Irish Rose?
Oh, I love the moving imagery in this. This was really spectacular. The opening really was a nice hook. The mating song of the long-legged herons echoing across the marshlands. And so immediately in my mind, I'm flashing, oh, beautiful, you know, pastoral kind of quiet mm-hmm. scene. You know, did not hear the crystalline sounds carried by the deep flow of the great rivers over the moaning pebbles laying in their depths. And so it's like, wow. So this guy is really, like, gone. You know, and it goes on, and she goes on to describe the musty scent of the ponds and the spiciness of the watercress and the buzzing of the, you know, the dragonflies. And all this imagery that builds on the whole poem. And then finally, toward the very end of the poem, you realize that he is so smitten that he sees nothing, this pearl earring and this face. After all this busy imagery has, you know, gone before you, and you're saying, you didn't see a thing? But it's like, he couldn't. He was instantly smitten. Beautiful. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Such a beautiful comment, Irish Rose. You know, you've got such captivating, beautiful imagery here. you take the reader into, you know, I do believe that you can look at somebody and all the beauty that surrounds you, the marshland, the birds, you know, the sound of the moving water, the scent of the pond, you know, he's so captivated by her beauty that it is more beautiful than everything that is around her. And, you know, the, being like she said, smitten, but that instant lightning strike when you see somebody and you're taken aback and everything, no matter how beautiful it is, blurs in front of you, except this person that you just are in awe with. Beautiful poem, Naomi. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
And who is? What's our next poem, Naomi?
Well, the next poem I put up is by Casey Day, and we have a SoundCloud for that one.
Okay. All right.
Smitten by the girl with a pearl earring. He did not hear the mating song of the long-legged herons echoing across the marshlands. Did not
hear.
Smitten by the girl with a pearl earring.
Oh, my goodness. I put it on pause and it's not pausing. Okay, I turned it down, so I don't know what's happening today. Okay, here we go. This is a poem by Casey Day.
Title. There's a place in between dusk and dawn where memories breathe out heartstring song. We give love to our bodies in twilight, righting wrong. Alone together in this room where time can stop. Poetry bursts through our charcoaled lungs, leaving black ink dripping from our cracked lips. We taste the bitter as it drips, fading in and out of each other like light through the blinds, begging for more time, but time slips. We're dying. But not the kind that leaves us dead. It's the kind that gives us hope. The kind that flies through dreams on paper wings and spaceships. We choke on memories and break like glass across your bedroom floor. You want more. You want more of me, but all that's left is this body and this beating, beating, beating chest that won't rest. Filling me with burning desire to break every bone in my body. Rebuild myself to the sculpture in your head so that I could be your God. There's a place in between dusk and dawn where memories breathe out heartstrings song. We give love to our bodies in twilight, righting wrongs. Alone together in this room where time can stop.
What a beautiful poem by Casey Day. And I'd like to welcome Gray Eyes to the show. Hey, Gray.
Hey, Gray.
Hello.
Hi, Gray.
Are you?
Hi, Gray.
Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello,
hey, Gray.
And I would like to go ahead and get some comments. Naomi, you're next to comment.
Oh, what a beautiful, sensual poem by Casey Day here. You know, it has this kind of pain in it, this kind of wanting. I don't know, this it just flows with emotion. You know, it's just such an amazing right. We give love to our bodies in twilight, righting wrongs alone together in this room where time can stop. You know, just superb writing. Casey Day, she really writes from her heart and, you know, and shows beautiful imagery all throughout, beautiful metaphors are loaded with great, you know, emotion that stays with us long after she finished reciting the poem. Beautiful voice too, beautiful read. Well done, Casey Day.
Oh, great. Thank you, Naomi. That was so wonderful. Now that we've got enough readers and, let me see. Frank's calling back.
Yeah.
Is it Frank?
Can you hear me?
Are you calling back?
Yeah,
we can hear you.
Yeah, I'm breaking up. I'm sorry. The phone is having issues. I'm having issues with the phone tonight. But I'm trying to do my best here to stay on.
That's okay,
the sweetie.
The phone
was fun. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello?
You there.
Okay.
Yes,
can you
hear
okay.
you.
The SoundCloud was fantastic. The imagery was superb. And it was just a striking poem, you know. She talks always about emotions when she's writing in this type of style of writing. And I really admire the way she writes. She just completely, it's raw, it's in your face, and it's just her. And it's just remarkable when you write this type of poetry.
Oh, beautiful comment, Frank. Thank you so much. And Gray, I know you haven't had a chance to comment yet. Did you get to hear the poem, the SoundCloud and the poem?
I did, thank you. You know, she did a beautiful read on her SoundCloud. But, you know, I found the poem to be deeply reverential, sensual, and steeped in passion and emotion. So, excellent job.
Thank you so much. Okay, Naomi, we're ready for our next poem. Naomi? Hello? Are you muted?
Ah, shit, the next poem is yours, Louie, so whenever you're ready, my dear.
Okay, thank you, sweetheart.
Ray,
Letter
just
of
put...
Craving. Oh, thank you. Letter of Craving Weakness by Louie Wildev. Addictive sunlit rubied kisses, night salsa rhythms, move starless canvases, bronze tinted alabaster, neck lip misted press, lip whispered ruby throated feathery moaned feathered song, unraveling inky aching poetry, burning notions, contemplation, begging watery travel, ghosting misted sea air covering layers of you pressing against my wanton frame in salty coastal gardens, grayish emerald seagrass bearing layers of my hidden pinkish daylily, fingertips placing till reddish golden Blackson gallardia from blooming flowers, blankets behind my jeweled emerald dangling earrings, spreading long tinted auburn sable hair, reciting yellow pages of rhymed promises, giggling beneath warm languid sunbeams for moist droplets, huddle glistening rivets, body heated curves between heaving breaths, deep breaths each long breath, filling inky pitch black engorged pupils, pen stained fingers scribbles, heart's watery nightly affection, watching your scorching lick, suckle sinful taste, intoxicating, succulent kisses, salted honeyed motion, reading my mouth waters for your addictive, sunlit, tempting kisses in the poem. And Naomi, would you like? Would you like to go ahead and ask for the comments since I read? Naomi?
You got to keep the mute button away from her, I'm telling you.
I think she puffed up there.
Oh, no, Laura, you, what did you think of Luyu's poem?
What I always think of Luyu's poetry, it's even her weakest stuff is outstanding. And this is not weak by any stretch of the imagination. It begins with the word addictive, which I really like. There's certain things are addictive among them, you know, love, romance, sex, and the way she describes her sensuality is really quite remarkable. Lips whisper ruby-throated, feathery moan, feathered songs, unraveling inky, aching poetry, burning notions, contemplations. It's delicious the way you set this up with the two-line stanzas, which really isolate the beauty of the words. And another one that I really like with the fingertips placing pale reddish golden flaxen gallardia from blooming flowers. I can't even pronounce it, and you wrote it so easily. this is really something. Thank you very much for once again gracing the airwaves with your words and your very sultry voice.
Thank you, Matt.
Wonderful comment, Laurent. And I'm going to get the two guys to comment. What did you think, Frank?
Well, you know, if I could only have a good phone tonight, I'd say what I feel like saying. But because my phone is not that good tonight, maybe it's not naughty enough. But I'm going to say what I wrote. I thought the poem was seductive from the start. The imagery was stunning and sensually delightful. And I only wonder if that naughty hummingbird was probably sipping from your pinkish daylily. I guess, Uncle. There you go.
I'll never tell. I'll never tell.
Oh.
An Irish rose, your thoughts, my dear.
Oh, my. Girlfriend, you did yourself right. This was really, this is exquisite. This flowed so beautifully. I really love the flowing, the like tidal current. That's it. The current, the undertow that happens through this, as it brings you along through each line. And I love the sensual nouns and verbs and adjectives that really made this thing pop. And it was just a delight to hear. Good job.
Thank you, Irish Rose.
And Gray, your thoughts?
Well, you know, she definitely sings her song in this, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's got a beautiful voice for that. You know, but it's deeply passionate, sensual, done in her signature flair, which is very unique in her style and flow. And I thought it was beautiful. It's a great job.
Thank you, Gray.
Yeah,
and
this Frank
says, muy caliente.
I thought this poem was so sultry. Luyu, you know, it just like was a passion spilling off the page in that sweet perfume. It was so beautiful. Bravo. You know, your imagery, your metaphors are amazing. And yeah, like Gray said, it just sings so beautiful, beautiful, right? And I have our next poem up, which is My Gracious. It's going so bad tonight. Ah, good grief. I put it up there, but it got buried, so I put it up again. But it's not there. I put up the same one.
I saw it pop up, and it just disappeared. How is that possible?
Yeah, I know. Oh, I'm going to put it up again. Oh, boy. Okay. by Ben Hart. By Ben Hart. So, Frank, if your phone is okay, do you think it's okay to read that?
I don't have the... well, if you can hear me, that's the point. Yeah.
Well, we got a good connection.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. I'll try my best here. Umbrella. Between okays, I'm sorry. I've been heard. The umbrella. Between okays, I open your old umbrella. In need of a gateway to freedom. Find the rain where you left it cascading down. One last dance with the daffodils. Return into this brickwork world of in arms of Eden. And when give way to steel, blonde and damned. Across the hills that simply calling home wouldn't do justice. Wind had no place of her own. So she punished those who had somewhere to be. And the raindrops who finally found a home in mine. Surrender to falling all over again, just to remember the rain I once welcomed to prove you wrong, because you said oceans couldn't bleed. Gardener, at a quarter past midnight, all the daffodils hit the earth.
Whoops, we lost. We're losing you, Frank. Laurent, can you just pick up where he left off?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Which line?
Rivers Rose.
Yeah, well, he was starting number three, the gardener.
Okay.
Lost
yeah,
them.
Yep. I will do that. If I can find three. Okay. At a quarter past midnight, all the daffodils died at divinity's birth. Water went to war against the earth. Rivers rose. Clouds stitched themselves into the sky. A blanket of bombers on Mother Ocean's orders let go, but never let die. A return to the earth. The seas once fell in love with, but now no longer know, the beautiful green gardener that allowed the rain to touch a heart made of stone. That at some point of strange revelation, out over the cold, and for the sake of existence, began resisting his useless resistance. Many outlive their vocation, but perhaps a poet won't. Just have it mean less each time it's told. Do not tell me the end. I already know. None of us are growing old. None of us are growing old. Of his hope in our bones, none of us are growing old. Divine, pretty things, worthy of outliving me, did not love me though. Don't tell me the end. Don't fall for me, friend. His hope in these bones, do not love me though. But if it cannot stop you, please don't let it mean less each time you told me so. End poem.
What a great read, Frank and Laurent, on Ben Hart's poem. This is his artwork. He's amazing. That is his actual artwork. And then he says in his author's notes, the poem was inspired by the music of Eden and Teton Henson. They kept me warm as I struggled in the outside cold to write this. I like to think it was worth it. And yes, it was worth it. You know, he's talking here about nature and love and sadness. And, you know, sometimes our heart can bleed and just feel as if we're being drained when we love somebody and somebody doesn't love us in return. That sadness we feel, and sometimes when we go out in nature, she surrounds us and blesses us, you know, in some way with the sadness we're feeling. I found this just heartbreaking. I could just see him outside in the cold writing this and, you know, feeling this immense loneliness, you know, right there where he says, Just to remember the rain I once welcomed to prove you wrong, because you said oceans couldn't bleed. And, you know, and then he goes into where he says, divine pretty things worthy of outliving me. Did not love me, though. Did not love me, though. Ah, you can just feel the heaviness of this poem and its beauty. Wonderful poem, Ben. What did you think, Irish Rose?
Oh, I thought it was so filled with emotion and with longing, but also it was tinged throughout the whole poem with this undercurrent, this shadow of not being worthy enough, not being good enough. And as the poem flows, you know, goes toward the end, like you said, divine pretty things worthy of outliving me. Do not love me, though. Do not love me, though. Don't tell me the end. Don't fail. Fall for me, my friend. There's hope in these bones, but do not love me, though. And so it's this repetition of not being enough. And I think that creates such a impact and drama on the psyche and the soul, you know. And it really makes you feel like, wow, that, you know, like you said, the heaviness that just kind of falls on you. And but I cannot stop you. Please don't let it mean less. Each time you told me so. So he wants to hear it, but he pushes it away. I love this. This is great.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Beautiful comment. And how about you, Naomi? You're on
the way, yeah, the way he marries nature and love together is just, you know, beautiful in this poem. There's a few, the way the drifting of the dandelions, it's like the drifting of love and life at the same time. Just an amazing write, you know, deep write, you know, and very well done. So bravo, Ben. Stunning piece.
Beautiful.
Great. Beautiful comment. And Laurent?
Yeah, I will echo what everyone else said about this piece, because they're all very, very valid. You began with, Luyu, with what the lines that I really admired a great deal, so I won't necessarily repeat them, except to say that, boy, the language is just absolutely gorgeous. The way the poet uses rain as a metaphor for the ability to love, the sense that, well, for instance, the beautiful green gardener that allowed the rain to touch a heart made of stone. The beautiful green garden, I was very moved by that description, and for the sake of existence, began resisting his useless resistance. You know, it's a dichotomy almost of push me, pull you. And the way the poet is described, many outlive their vocation, but perhaps a poet won't. Just have it mean less each time it's told. Do not tell me the end. I already know. Mm-hmm. I just had to say, oh, it's just, he's a real poet. I'm not a pretend poet. He is the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding work.
Thank you, Laurent. Excellent comment. And Gray Eye?
You know, Ben has a talent for his storytelling. You know, it's deeply engaging and powerfully written throughout. So just another fantastic poem by Ben. A great read, Laurent.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gray. And we have another caller, 424. Who am I speaking with?
Hey,
424.
It's Sucker.
Hi, Sucker. How are you doing today? Are you calling to comment and read, or are you just listening?
I would love to listen and maybe read, but perhaps not comment,
okay.
If that's okay. Okay,
okay. That'll do. Okay, I'll try to remember. Let me tell you, just so many things happen today, I'm kind of out of it. Okay, welcome to the show, sucker. Okay, so here we go. We're ready for our next poem, Naomi.
Yeah, this is by Hap. I'm sailing on your river. And the Irish Rose, if you can give that a read for us, please.
Sure, thank you. Begin poem. I'm sailing on your river by Hap. Happiness is a gold fly drowned at the bottom of a wine glass. Life is a ladybug walking on an outstretched middle finger, then fluttering red wings. Green-eyed fish is not silent at all and swims upstream. The darkness steals my lamplight. A shadow falls on the ink. Hear my night landscape on the surface of my darkest shadows, yet shining like a meteorite. The river of your stories carry me away on a red sailboat. The light shines through the blackness in ebony robes. I behead my dreams about you. End poem.
You did such a gorgeous read, Irish Rose on Hat's poem. What, you know, what I love was all her imagery here. I literally could reread the whole poem again because I loved each landscape, especially she catches you in your eye, in your heart, and your mind with those first two stanzas. Happiness is a gold fly drowned at the bottom of a wine glass. And you can see that. And then she goes, life is a ladybug walking on an outstretched middle finger, then fluttering red wings. To me, there was a little bit of sarcasm there, but it's so beautiful. You can just literally see it. I enjoyed it so, so very much. And let's get some more comments. Irish Rose, you are next to comment that I know you read, and you did such a great read. What did you think?
Oh, well, I love the imagery, and I love the metaphor of, like you're fishing for a date, you're fishing for a person. And I love that whole thing. I thought, this is so brilliant. Until I get to the last line, and then I thought, woo, I behead my dreams about you. I thought, whoa. That was really poignant. But the whole thing was just brilliant, the way she put it together.
Agreed. Thank you so much. And Naomi, I'd love to know what you think.
Yes. Yeah, I just love Hat's writing. My gracious, you know, and she outdid herself in this poem. It's beautiful all the way through. You know, she has a remarkable style in her writing, and you know, it's recognizable right away. A delightful style, and you know, just beautiful, beautiful writing. I'm a fan of Emily since the beginning, and you know, just beautiful writing all the way through.
Agreed. And Laurent, I would love to know your opinion.
Yeah, happiness is a gold fly drowned at the bottom of a wine glass. Life is a ladybug walking on an outstretched middle finger and fluttering red wings. And those two stanzas and the green-eyed fish, not silent at all, it swims upstream. It's beautiful poetics. The poetry represents the what she calls my night landscape. The metaphor, the idea of a river of stories carrying me away in a red sailboat, is a gorgeous image. That last line, I behead my dreams about you, that'll give you a pause for about a second, and then the meaning of it. You go, wow. Wow, great job, Hat.
Right, it was good.
Thank you. And Gray?
I had trouble getting to my mute button. But no, she did a fantastic job on her, right? You know, it was very emotion-filled. The imagery was fantastic, and I really liked the message of the poem as well. So fantastic job.
Thank you so much. And we have some new callers. 660, who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Gavin.
Hi, Gavin.
I've been on Midnight Poetry a couple times here and there. I really like the show. I'm a full-time student, so I don't have a whole lot of time to do this. But I should be studying statistics right now, but I'm so much more enthralled with poetry.
Well, a little hope you get your mind ready to study afterwards. It's so wonderful to hear your voice. I love it when it's the first time I get to hear somebody's voice, and you have a wonderful voice, and I can't wait to hear you read. Gavin, welcome to the show. And yes, you can. Thank you. Thank you, Gavin. I'm sorry would you like to make a comment on Hat's poem?
Yeah, so the second stanza, it uses the imagery of a ladybug walking on a finger before taking flight. It's like a metaphor for life's brief moments of beauty and transition. And then you combine that with like this in-between where the first stanza has this like uncertainty, like drifting. And then you have like this upstream current coming from below it on the third stanza. So it like kind of pinches this idea of like moment. This is really interesting use of visual imagery.
Oh, fantastic comic. Thank you, Gavin. And my sweetheart from Scotland, it's Katie, Wave of Dreams. Happy, yay, she's here.
Hello.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Katie. Welcome. Were you able to manage to hear Hass's poem?
No, I'm so sorry. I missed it because that blooming gods of radio waves wouldn't let me in again, but I'm here. Everything's gone wrong today, don't you realize? Oh, one good thing though, I just found out I've won £275 on Ernie, which is a kind of a thing we have in the UK, so that was nice.
Congratulations. Welcome, right, welcome. Here. Yeah. Okay. And what I'm going to ask, Naomi's been dropping in the poems. Would you like to take a rest today, or would you like, or Naomi, do you want to hand it back to Katie, or?
Yeah,
I'll be fine just sitting here for a while, if you don't mind, and I'll do it later some other time, but I'm really frazzled. I do apologize. So, Naomi, if you don't mind doing it, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so my other sweetheart from Canada.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to you, Naomi.
So the next poem is by Nuno Cardoso. And Gray, if you want to give that a read for us, please.
Sure. This poem is called Sailor's Flower Fountain by Nuno Cardoso. Pretty please, pluck these petals. Open this flower. Not trying to burst. Longing to bloom, cradle, pollen, minute body, dark molasses-soaked rose sentiment, mixing with sugary flowering buds of sealed blossom, wefts of pucker, sultry pout, kissing breezes into essence of all that is feminine. As I spread and pick passion fruit, purple sun-shaped wings, my thorns prick as you bleed the sugared nectar of magenta kindling, setting blaze to Ciela Mexicana, bluebird firestorms flocks far into Portugal's heartthrob, pulsing center. Nuzzle nose to center, cultivate the taste, royal honey spread thick across cakes. Sweet creams of cloudy dreams floating atop Cubano Negro coffee. Sail this lover's notes, coastal, for our love knows no bounds. End poem.
Greg, you did a beautiful job in the reading. This is Nuno Cardacio collaborating with Hope Soul, his lady. And this is such a sultry poem. His metaphors are just thick and sugary. I love this. Oh, God, this was like, as I spread and pick passion fruit, purple sun-shaped wings, my thorns prick as you bleed the sugared nectar of magenta kindling, setting blaze to Sania Mexicana, bluebird, firestorm, flock, far into Portugal's hearts up, pulsing center. Oh, it doesn't that just, ooh, just give you shivers with the passion. And, oh, it was just deeply sultry. What a beautiful poem from them both. What did you think, Iris Rose?
Oh, me? Irish? Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh, yes, ma'am.
I was all into the poem here. I really, really love the imagery, the way it was built. And I like the metaphor, the way he started it, with the mm-hmm. pluck these petals, open this flower, not trying to burst, longing to bloom. And it was just that slow build, you know, and as he goes through describing the entire situation, that it gets a little bit more descriptive. And toward the very last stanza, I love this nuzzle nose to center, and it just gets off the hook in the end. I like the way he built the whole thing. It was just very entertaining and very sensual and moving. Great job.
Andreas, thank you so much, Irish Rose. And Katie, I know you haven't had a chance yet to comment. I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Wow, this is incredibly sultry. I love the painting, by the way. That is, you've got scarlet, you've got that bright gold color, and the flower is just waiting to be plucked, which is a lovely analogy. I do enjoy that. But yes, I like the particular one I like was the sort of towards the end, nuzzle nose to center, cultivate mm-hmm. the taste, royal honey spread thick across cakes, and sweet creams of cloudy dreams. That's lovely, because I do think clouds are just gorgeous. So you can imagine that. I imagine mm-hmm. them sort of cuddled on the clouds, sort of cuddling up together. And floating about,
uh-huh.
soft white clouds. Yes, I thought it was beautifully written. Great collaboration, and lots of love and passion in it. So thank you for sharing.
Okay. And how about you, Naomi? Thank you, Katie.
Yeah, Nuno and Hope, what a wonderful collaboration to start off with. You can feel their passion and their love for each other in this poem. And, you know, what a sultry, passionate, dripping poem, so uniquely written in both their styles. You see them, you know, they fuse just so beautifully together. You can't tell who wrote what. They just so, they're just so, they flow so effortlessly, each line. Very well done, and bravo to both of them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And what did you think, Laurent?
Let me address those opening lines. Pretty please pluck these petals, open this flower, not trying to burst, longing to bloom. The idea of a flower that cannot contain what it has in it is passion. The emotion, not trying to burst, longing to bloom, you know, seeking that release, the dark molasses-soaked rose sentiment, mixing with sugary flowering buds of steel blossom. The whole idea of the flower in its youth, sealed, waiting to spread its petals, but needing someone to help by plucking those entitled, which is an excellent euphemism, I think. A kind of passion expressed in language that is not flowery, but certainly reminds us of the beauty of flowers and that achingness to be released. Beautifully done.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lauren. Gorgeous comment. Gray Eye, you read it. What did you think?
You know, they have such talent, and then you combine their talents together, and it's just a piece of art, as this poem is, deeply sensual and passionate. It was a wonderful read and a pleasure to read.
Thank you, Gray. And how about you, Gavin?
Okay, so I pulled out Pucker, Sultry Pout, Essence of All That Is Feminine, and Cultivate the Taste. So these lines here kind of give me like the sense that there's like this metaphor to the flower that also represents like the fleeting nature of passion in general. So like the petals will eventually wither and fall away. But there's also this like exotic sense coming from like the Portugal's heartthrob line that's like suggests a sense of like exoticism or an adventure of the relationship itself, that the whole thing was some brilliant happenstance that was meant to be in a way. The sort of way I pulled out like a hidden meaning almost in the poem, because it's like you'd have to kind of take steps across the different stanzas to reach that conclusion, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Gavin. Wonderful comment. Okay, we're back to you, Naomi, and we're into our open hour.
Yes, and we have the first poem up by Laurent. So, Laurent, whenever you're ready, my dear.
All right. This was written for a contest, but the prompt was how to write a poem in a time of war. And this is called Adieu, Fair Now. Color has fled the world. All is brown or black. Traitor sky betrayed its blue, and the sun extinguished its light. Flesh fashioned for the farm scrambles to a new profession. Rough clothes and old guns misfire, and fire uncertainly. Tu tues, tu pleures, comme les camarades meurent. You kill, you weep as comrades die. We were among the first to resist, anger and revenge fueling us. Invaders, abstract figures in the fog, were easy to pick off at first. The tanks and planes are beyond us. We lie hidden, waiting. Mon esprit aspire à son jumeau. My spirit yearns for its twin. Fleur de mon cœur, that portion of me living in her. Future of France grows in her womb. Where young lovers planted wonders, the flower in the spring, now become a bitter season. Scraps of paper, stub of a pencil, precious, small, and strange. Knuckling down to broad strokes, all caps, not a lowercase moment under the bombed splatter, descending like a red rain. Ma chère Marie-France, I fear I'm going to die. No, we, all of us. Le Boeuf fell yesterday, shrapnel to the head. Jean-Francois today from a mine. World has ceased to exist. Nature replaced with the bleak horror of its parts, scattered and unrecognizable. I have become like a child, less than a man, terrified of the night. No mother at the doorway to soothe away this nightmare. Will I ever wake again or breathe again without the heavy weight of fate riding my shoulders, whipping me to my last uncertain shudder? Stem, adieu, Delna. End poem.
Well, you know, I remember the first time I actually looked at footage of war in Europe during World War One. And I, you know, I'm not going to make a long comment because I'll burst out into tears. The horror, you know, that these men went through to survive war and, you know, fight for their country and their loved ones. And, you know, at the time where we didn't have telephones and those letters and photos in the pocket, you know, were kept and, you know, managing to write with, you know, little light at night to the family, hoping that they get the letter, you know, never knowing if they were going to die. I mean, it was, it tore me up, you know, the way that these men had to die to save their country and their fellow men. And you did this so well, Laurent. Let's get you some comments. Irish Rose.
Oh, I really enjoyed this poem in a way that it speaks in joy, as in the way it was shared. My mind goes to World War II and all the black and white footage of that time as it recorded history.
Mm-hmm.
And war is one of those things that just descends upon you. It kidnaps you. You don't know it's coming, and here you are. You're captured. You're not captured by an enemy, but you're captured by the events, you know? And so your life becomes black and white, and it loses some of the depths of its own living, you know, where you live on the edge that's so there. And so all these things become surreal, and like the mementos that you have here that he mentions. You know, and the unraveling of the friends, the death, and the loss, and the surreality of war itself. And when you find comrades or you find lovers and you think that you might be able to stay together and hope that there's a future, and but there's still this awful death that, you know, comes after you. And so I think in that... that manner, that this really stands out as a real moment that war speaks. It talks about moments, and it talks about black and whiteness, and it talks about the surreality of life that is captured forever. And then somehow when it's all over, the tragedy of the whole thing isn't the winner or the loser, but it's the people who are forever captured mentally in the trauma of the war. And I think that this was really done with that. And that's what I could see that spoke so well. Really well done, Laurel. Very well done.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Iris Rose. And Laurent, would you like to make a comment about your poem that you just read?
I heard a lot of stories from World War II from my mother, who, as I may have mentioned in the past, actually fought in the French resistance. And this is, I don't know, this is not an assemblage of memories per se,
mm-hmm.
but I always remember the tone mm-hmm. of her voice as she spoke with a very heavy heart, with tears in her eyes of the death of friends. Irish Rose said something about war descending on you. And that's exactly what it is. It's like somebody throws a blanket over you, and it's a whole different world. And whatever you were doing in the past, you know, farmer, for instance, when I say flesh fashion for the farm, scrambles to a new profession, rough clothes and old guns and this fire and fire on. Certainly a lot of the people back then were fighting with makeshift weapons almost, you know, when the Germans invaded the country. And, you do the best you can. You're first a farmer, now you're a soldier, but you're still overwhelmed by the war. And that's kind of what I try to present
yeah.
in their world, in their normal world that seems to exist.
Yeah, you can see the difference. You did. Well, you know, wonderfully done. Gray Eyes, what did you think?
You did a wonderful job of reading your poem, Laura. And your poem was, you know, you could feel the war raging around this writer as he authored his notes. You know, I felt like I was in the trenches with him as he was writing this. So you really made an excellent environment in your poem for that. So excellent job.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
Devin?
I really liked a lot of these stanzas. I think if I were to pick, like, just a few of them to comment on, I'm not a French speaker, of course, but I think that The Future of France Grows in Her Womb is a very powerful stanza that reflects the power of love inside of the futility of war, because then we have, like, this sense of, like it's not just France that's at stake, it's her people, right? And then we have this sense of scraps of paper, stub of a pencil, precious, small, and strange. I kind of get that in a sense where it's like we have nothing left except for these scraps of paper, these stubs of pencils, but they're precious.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, that's the power of the word. That's why people fight and die is these ideas, right? So I think this is really interesting.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
And Katie, I don't know, did you get to hear the poem before you were dropped?
I kind of got it towards the end, but I haven't been reading it. Using my voice already and I haven't even started. I thought it was. I thought it was so clever. I'm so telling. I knew that was so. You know, I still see. Yes, I think you did a brilliant job, and I did like the French very much, even much and understand it. Thank you for saying.
Thank you, Katie. And Naomi, we're ready for our next piece.
And the next piece will be by Frank. And I put it up there, Frank. Do you still see it? Or did it get buried? I'll post it again.
Okay.
There it is. So, Frank, whenever you're ready.
Gray, there's a recording.
Oh, there's a recording.
SoundCloud?
Okay, super.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Are you logged in, Gray?
Mi amor. I wrap myself around the seductive sinage of a floral awakening of passion, a fresh fragrance of eroticism. Of the vernal and carnal deflowerment, titillating my nose and inducing the ardor of my pheromones, undressing the magnetism.
Gray, I think that's you. That's two recordings.
Incantation.
Yeah,
it's the drifting desire. Yeah, I kind of got lost there. It's the first recording.
Mi amor. Ah, exotic eyes. Ignited intervals of lust, closing the glass door to then begin our sexual exploration. Our lips touch as our naked bodies press against each other, wrapping themselves in the sultry swirl of intimate flesh. We drench in the eroticism of the viscosity of oozing oil, lubricating the lubricious surface of our soft skin, an escapade of lascivious limbs, discovered like the plunging dive of an uninterrupted exhibition. We dance to the penetrating motions of the Kama Sutra as the water soaks us in the wet flow of a steaming cascade. Our strong craving begs for the hormones to be released, and your bosom swells with the caressings of my tongue. I reach your navel and edges of your blossoming inner lips as the core between your juicy thighs starts to shiver with every manly stroke of my sweet seduction, and you moan in the tumescent vapors of Spanish ecstasy. We are submerged in the liquid of our dripping desires, covered in the orgasmic drops of a wild whirlpool, bursting into an exploding crescendo of our passion until we melt in the water of a calm effusion converged. Tu eres mi pasión, tu eres mi excitación, tu cuerpo es mi exploración, la ducha es nuestra seducción. You are my passion, you are my excitation, your body is my exploration, the shower is our seduction. Ole, ole, in the boom.
I think I need something to drink after. I did find that I wasn't breathing. when you got to the stanzas, I reach your navel and edges of your blossoming inner lips as the core between your juicy thighs starts to shiver with every manly stroke from my sweet seduction, and you moan. I don't even remember what the rest of the poem says.
that's too funny.
Okay, before I stick my tongue in my... in the wrong place. Irish way.
No. Ihola.
Muy caliente.
Muy caliente. This was really quite a journey. And a lot of flashing scenes going on here. And the pace and the cadence, the deliberate cadence of the language with the little undertones of the background dropping in behind, the musical. And it was just the way the tension that was built. And it was so, so exotic and erotic. And I really thought this was, of course, a journey into night. Very well done.
Agreed.
Well done.
Thank you. And Laurent, I would love to know what you're thinking.
Yeah, as I read the stanza, we drench in the eroticism of the viscosity of losing the oil, lubricating the lubricious surface of our soft skin, an escapade of lascivious limerence discovered like the plunging dive in an uninterrupted exhibition. I couldn't help but think, of the condition of the sheets when it was all done. And then, you know, it goes on to mention the Kama Sutra as the water soaks us and the wet flow of a steaming cascade. And I, good Lord, you know, it takes a lot of tide to clean up after that's done. It's really an excellent work.
Mm-hmm. But wouldn't you say that it would be all worth it?
Tangled in those bed sheets, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Laurent.
There you go.
And Gray Eyes, how about you?
Yeah, he did an amazing read on his SoundCloud as well. But, you know, the poem is deeply captivating and stunning in its sensuality. You know, it has a lot of passion and desire in it. So, beautiful job, Frank.
Thank you, Gray. And how about you, Gavin?
I really like how seriously you took the read. Even though, like, there were some of us that were laughing. I mean, I had laughed too, but I think it's because of how overtly sexual the poem is, right? And something that I sort of noticed going through it is, like, you put the setting of the shower there, like you're having sex in the shower, but, like, you guys kind of forget that you're in the shower until, like, the whirlpool kind of, like, takes it away from you. You know what I mean? So there's also, like, this sense of, like, being absorbed in the moment so much that, like, the setting no longer matters, right? And I think that there's also a lot of, like, a mix of culture in here, too, how you're talking about, like, the Kama Sutra, and you have Spanish language and stuff like that. It's a very, very romantic, like, cultural merge. So it's very well done.
Great. Thank you, Gavin. And Katie, what did you think?
Lost for words. I may have to go for a swim with Nessie to cool down. Wow. talk about cool. That was so good. I loved it. But I love when we dance to the penetrating motions of the Kama Sutra as the water soaks us in the wet flow of steaming cascade. Oh, I like it. I like it. So, yes, very well done. You just read them so quickly. I have such fun listening to you. I don't know what you're going to say next, which is always good. I keep going down thinking, oh, where's this going to go? Is it going to get worse or is it going to get gooder? But you get gooder, so that's good.
Oh, my God, Katie, thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, Naomi, we're ready for our next poem.
Yeah, their next poem is by Lauren67 with his famous cat, Nigel, written to you, I guess, Luyu. And Laurent, I think you can do Lauren67 pretty good, can you? I'll get you to read it.
I will do the best I can. Luyu. Nigel, excuse me. Excuse me. Hello. Can I help you? Yes, we've been sitting here waiting for our order almost 30 minutes. Can you check and see what the holdup is? Your order? Yes, I ordered a festive nightingale sauteed in a pomegranate sauce, medium rare to medium with a slight crust. And Alfie, what did you have? I wanted the slab of dove. So, what's the holdup? Excuse me, but we don't serve nightingales or doves here. We do poetry. Look, lady, we have money. We are not beggars. So can you bring us our open poultry dishes pronto? Chop, chop. Open poultry? This is open poetry. We don't do chickens and birds here. Open poetry? Who the hell wants to eat poetry? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. Why would you open an establishment for eating poetry? That makes no sense. Let's go, Alfie. They don't know what they're doing here, serving open poetry. Gee whiz, Louise. End my poem. End poem.
You did a fabulous job in reading this. I really enjoyed this, how he... poetry
to open poultry. And the conversation between Nigel and Alfie and Lou Yu and her trying to explain this, and poor guy, sorry, no chicken wings for you tonight, Laurent. Okay. Cute. What did you think of the poem, Irish Rose?
Oh, I thought it. I liked its little dash of humor in here. I thought it was cute. I liked the play on words with the poultry and the poetry, and it was fun. It was lighthearted, and it was good. Good time had by all.
Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Laurent?
I kind of bollocks that beginning because I didn't see that there was no parenthesis after Nigel, so it totally threw me. But I picked it up on the second stanza. You make a very attractive waitress, by the way. I really enjoyed the open poultry versus poetry. There was just enough confusion, genuine confusion there, to be absolutely amusing. And, of course, it was almost like a set piece, a set comic piece, maybe Laurel and Hardy or Abbott Costello. Just each statement further confusing the issue. So finally it was all resolved at the end when they blew out the place. Great piece.
Thank you, Lauren. And you did a fabulous job in reading. Gray Eyes?
Yeah, I agree. Lauren did a fabulous job of reading. But, you know, I like the poem. I like the humor, the relation between poultry and poetry. That was a humorous poem full of excellent details, and it was beautifully done.
Thank you, Gray. And Gavin, what did you think?
I actually think it had more of a Monty Python sort of a vibe to its comedy, if you'd ask me, because it has like this setting where they're sort of like arguing the waiter over what's going on entirely, and everyone's confused, and everyone leaves disappointed, you know. But I prefer to write stuff like this myself because I really like this style of comedy where it's sort of like a dry dad humor, but then it makes you like sort of realize in a sense that you're just in it for this one joke, you know, the difference between poultry and poetry, as they were saying. But it does hit hard because it kind of like dances around to that, and then once it hits you, you're like, oh, that's what it was. And then the realization is really stunningly funny.
Agreed. And if you would like to write pieces like that, I would certainly love to have you read them and call in. That would just be fantastic. Thank you, Gavin.
Well,
and how about you?
Yes.
Thank you. And Katie?
Oh, I always look forward to seeing poetry featuring Nigel and Alfie. It's always so funny, so clever. Yes. And I love the fact that you're in the middle of this trying to cope with them. Oh, I hope he keeps on writing these because I love them. He needs to feature everybody in a poem so that we all have our own to have fun with. I thought it was brilliant. Well done, Lauren 67. More, please.
All righty. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody. And we're ready for our next poem, Naomi.
Yeah, and Katie, if you'll read for Stelina, please. This is called Game Night.
I would be happy to. You know my problem with getting things to come up on my screen, so if you give me a second. How often do I have to refresh? Somebody tell me. A lifetime or just a few minutes? Oh, my goodness, hang on. I'll be there. Oh, yeah, I got it. Oh, Game Night. Cool. Oh, Stelina, I will do my very best, so there's no way I could ever get anywhere near your beautiful dulcet tones, but in we go. We can do this. Friday night. That means no TV, just smooth jazz music and a bottle of wine. With a few sips of Merlot flowing through me, feeling fuzzy and warm, I'm doing fine. Let the game begin, says he with a saucy smile. We'll start with this and see where it goes. Well, that will only last for a very short while, since I am terrible at chess, as well as he knows. Checkmate, he shouts with undisguised glee as he winks his eye and downs his drink. Rubbing his hands, he whispers, "One to me." Dying inwardly, I feel my hopeful heart sink. How about a few hands of poker? Still preening at his early success. "Why not?" says I, as I light up a toker, needing to relieve the building's stress. Two down now. What trouble is brewing? This won't end well. He will have his way. It really is the last thing I feel like doing after four red wines and a long, hard day. So woefully winning only one round in four to put the games back upon the shelves. Groaning, I pick myself up from the floor. Ah, well, the dishes won't do themselves. End poem.
Beautiful read, Katie. I love this poem by Selena. And let's go ahead and get some comments. What did you think about this poem, Rose?
Oh, I thought it was the way it started, I thought, oh, it's going to be an interesting evening. But it sounded like it was just one of those evenings where you just kind of either be there with your spouse or you be there with your partner and you're trying to wind down and maybe the other person has some other intentions, but you can read it already and you're like, oh, I don't think so. And you realize maybe you've had too much wine. And I like the way he did the whole build and the exchange of conversation and the whole thing. I thought it was really nice. I enjoyed it.
I agree. You know, there's that, you know that it's going to be an easy night where we're just going to, you know, no electronics. I mean, we grew up without electronics, and I love this type of quietness where you're sharing a drink, a glass of wine, and you're playing board games, whether it's chess or another board game or cards, and, you know, you get all languid and you get relaxed. And then you realize after, you know, playing your games and, you know, the shouting of the checkmate and games of poker, and then you realize, oh, my God, I left a whole kitchen full of dirty dishes. So you got to just leave that game of playing and just go in there and just, you know, duty calls and off you go. You know, and I so love the imagery all throughout in here. What did you think about the poem? Let's see, who's next to comment? Okay. Laurent.
Yeah, I wonder what the end result was, really. When he says checkmate, he shouts with undisguised glee as he winks his eye and downs his drink. Rubbing his hands, he whispers, "One to me." Sighing inwardly, I feel my hopeful heart sink. You know, when you win only one out of four and you have to pay the penalty, regardless of what the penalty is, you have to pay it. There's nothing you can do gaining that. With the end result being, well, a hard floor is a hard floor, but it works. Let's put it that way.
Excellent comment, Matt. And what did you think about the poem, Gray Eyes?
Well, it's definitely a veer off of her normal dark rites, which are epic. And this one is definitely fantastic in its presentation. Checkmate, he shouts with undisguised glee as he winks his eye and downs his drink. Rubbing his hands, he whispers, "One to me." Sighing inwardly, I feel my hopeful heart sink. You know, when you're being beat, that sucks. And I like the twist at the end. I pick myself up off the floor. Oh, well, the dishes won't do themselves. Great ending.
So, Gray, are you a bad loser? That's what I thought. That's it. I got you, Gavin.
I guess what I could highlight out of this here is what I was reading is like we have like this sense of like a strong gender role conformity in this relationship that seems to be like hindering like her ability to relax because like in the first game they played chess, which I mean he's really good at, so of course he's going to win that one. And who does the dishes is on the line at the end, or the stakes of the games that they play.
then like suggesting a few hands of poker kind of makes it a bit more fair for everybody, because then it's not necessarily a testament to skill so much as what cards you end up with. But then it feels like there's like this building of tension and stress that needs to get relieved by like smoking cigarettes and drinking more, so that way they can kind of like say, but it's fun, it's just to have a good time sort of thing. In the end, she ends up being the one that does the dishes, and it was kind of a one-sided in that regard. If they're playing games out of four, and then one of them was predetermined, because she also has this "this won't end well, he will have his way" sort of thing, like a doom and gloom.
I don't know if you've read a lot of Stellina's poems. I was reading her comments. She says that she's usually good at both games, but she said that this time she did a twist and that would have us all thinking about a different ending, which, by the way, my pieces usually end up in the bedroom. Laugh out loud. Thought I would tease a bit. Ha ha. Glad you enjoyed it. And what did you think, Katie?
I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was so clever. Of course, we all start off thinking that this was for a particularly different occasion at the end, and it was just to see who had to wash the dishes. It was brilliant. Of course, I got a little bit confused when I got to let me just see where I am. Oh, I can't find it. Anyway, I thought to myself, she's got an open fire, but she's spelt poker wrong, and I realized it wasn't a poker to poke the fire. Anyway, that threw me a bit. But yes, I thought it was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. And Naomi, we're ready for our next poem.
Yes, and our next poem will be by S. Sharp. And Sucker, if you're there, if you can give that a read for us, please.
Sucker?
I'm here. Can
okay.
You guys all hear me? It's reflecting on the past, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Reflecting on the past by S. Sharp. The reflection is what caught my attention. Woods gathered an audience to the darkness, running into the memories, escaping into the past. The smell of the pine trees creeps through childhood, broken, down on the side of the road. A long journey seems but a short mile amongst the weeds that have grown uncontrolled between the whispers. Regrets run like caribou, stopping occasionally to look back at me, but I am no hunter. Many fences stop egress or regress, gates locked many years ago. They hold one in the same old pastures, grazing on the past, unable to reach the future. End poem.
Oh, Sucker. You did such a wonderful read of Sharp's poem. I went to go look at the picture because, you know, I love poetry that I can feel and it, I can see it in my mind. And I went back to look at the picture and I could just see this woman, and especially he caught her expression. And the stanza, a long journey seems but a short mile amongst the weeds that have grown uncontrolled between the whispers. Regrets run like a caribou, stopping occasionally to look back at me. But I am no hunter. You know, the emotions that we have, the thoughts, the pictures that we can't get out of our mind, and how they, you know, just, I love that imagery, how regrets run like a caribou when we're sorry for something and, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. And he brought that out so wonderfully, and I really enjoyed the way you read this. Sucker. And let's get some comments. What did you think about this poem, Irish Rose?
Oh, I thought it was very deep. It's like when you reflect on years and years of your life, and
mm-hmm.
and you see those comparisons, those things that harken back to your childhood, that harken back to your own life, that speak to you, and you start to become part of that past. Even though you're in the future, you're still being drawn by it. And I really thought this was a well-done piece in that aspect of giving the reader that sense of identification of the past. And it says here, a long journey seems but a short mile. And so when you're in mm-hmm. that place of recollection, and you're here, but you're way back there somewhere, and it's just a moment, and instantly you're there. And I think that it was really done very well with many fences stop, egress to regress. And I thought that was a yin and yang, gates locked many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Things you can't get into, things you can't open, you know. They hold one in the same old pastures, grazing on the past, unable to reach the future. And that's that just moment, that momentary feeling of, ah, oh, wow. Very well captured. Well done.
Excellent comment, Irish Rose. Thank you. And Laurent?
Yeah, my apologies, but my computer about 10 minutes ago decided it would be a good time to restart and update. Now, we all know what updates do. So I've only heard the last few poems. I haven't read them. I'll leave my comment in writing.
Okay. Thank you, Laurent. Gray Eyes?
You know, we all hold memories, and sometimes we get trapped in those memories, as
mm-hmm.
you know, Soap's Preston is right. But I thought he did a fascinating take on memories and the role they play in our lives. So beautifully done. Fantastic read as well.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Good comment. Great. Thank you. Gavin?
Yeah, so pictures are captured reflections. Like, in order to make a picture, that's what it does. It like reflects the light outwards, and then it captures that, and it's a moment of the past. So all of these recurring things off of the same image, and then we pull the image up, and it is the first thing that you see when it pops up, because it is the brightest thing, is these reflections of the light in between these shadows. So it's quite the tale, especially with the imagery of it. I really liked how it all combined that same image into an image of an image, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gavin. Fantastic comment. And Katie.
Yes, this was definitely very deep. I do like that last stanza. For some reason, it resonates with me. Many fences stop. Oh, everybody's already read it. It's no point going over it again. But I really thought that the fact that the play on words, egress and ingress, gates locked mm-hmm. many years ago, I like that a lot, because it's true. Your memories can force you
mm-hmm.
to be stagnant. You can't move on, because those are regrets, and regrets mm-hmm. are no good. There's no point. Somebody once said to me they were going to do something that he didn't really know if he should or not. And my advice, which I don't give advice often, but my advice was, don't ever do anything that you'll regret. Or if you do it, don't regret it. There is no point. So that choice is up to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I hate people who do things and then moan about the fact that they did wrong and they should never have done it. Come on, you know, you had the fun. Don't regret it. Enjoy yourself. So, yes. I thought it was beautifully done. It was sad, it was deep, and it was beautifully written. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to thank everybody who called in to read or hung out on the board. Thank you, Irish Rose. Thank you, Naomi.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank, Laurent, Gray Eyes, Sucker, Gavin, and Katie. I love you guys, and I'm looking so forward to next Monday. I love you guys. Te quiero mucho. Besos a todos. Kisses to everybody.
Mucho besos.
Have a great night, everybody.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank
Good night.
You.
Night, night. Good night. Thank you.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches.
Good night, y'all.
Katie, hold on.
Okay.
I don't know if it'll drop you. Yeah. I didn't because I got on late today. Naomi, I couldn't get my computer to come up. Naomi came on in to help me, and it was, let me tell you, it was just a disaster tonight. But the poetry was good. We got everybody mm-hmm. on. I didn't get as much poems as I wanted to get read, but we did read a lot. And I didn't want to push it since you weren't there because I'm so in sync with you right now that it's kind of odd for me to do it with somebody else. So
oh,
I felt kind of discombobled without you.
I was frantic. I've had such a terrible day. My emails stopped working. Both my computers couldn't get through to you tonight. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. Oh, sorry.
That's okay. I got my mouth all dry right now.
Oh, it's a horrible feeling, isn't it? Yeah, so my laptop wouldn't open up all poetry. My PC wouldn't open up. I nearly booted out of the window. But I got it working eventually. I went back into settings.
Mm-hmm.
And set it onto default. So I know exactly what you mean. I felt frazzled and I'm thinking of you and I thought, do you have, luckily Naomi helped, but I wondered if you had anybody to help you.
Well, when I first started, there was only one caller, Irish Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, my computer is slow, but today it was beyond slow. And in fact, I couldn't how I like to put it, those little dance figures so that you know that that was red, so it'll catch your eye and you can go to the next film, which helped
mm-hmm.
me because I can't remember what was red unless I go listen to the whole show again. So it's kind of like a bar mark for me and you, for me to, so we don't re-add the poem next week and for you, so you can see that was red. And I just like, oh my God. And then I couldn't get it to work. And then Naomi was on. Yes, my new help came on board, and she was kind of off today too. She told me don't let me comment.
I noticed
she said
that.
I'm all She was all discombobbled, and and then everybody called in late, and it was. Let me tell you, and then my song didn't play automatically, and it started off with clapping, and then I kept waiting for it to play. And then Franco did Marika dropped. And I'm like, oh, my God, now I got to go look for the song. And this writing on here is so small that when I blow it up to make it bigger, it will not let me see all the recordings.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I panic. And then Gray wrote me he was coming in late.
Oh, no.
And he does the recordings for me because I can't. And I just like, it just cannot.
Oh.
So I just, fortunately Naomi came on and she helped me.
Oh, thank goodness, because I was so worried. You can imagine I was frantic. I was going from one room to the other. I didn't think to take the laptop with me. I just kept running backwards and forwards.
Oh, that's okay. And then Phil told me that you were having trouble, so then I knew you were going to be coming on, and then I didn't want to throw Naomi. I didn't know what to do, if you wanted her to do it or not. It was just... We got through it.
We did. Well, you did.
That's all
well
I care.
Well done. Well, no, I
we got through
I,
it.
I was,